This baptism of our Lord is Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Let us pray. Holy Father, Savior Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, thank you for being the constant good and positive influence in our daily lives. You are there to support us, lift us up, give us the answers to our questions, celebrate with us, and comfort us. We know we belong to you. Let us live joyfully in this security and help us to share it with others. Amen.
Amen.
The second lesson this morning is Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, you have given us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. We can accept and understand this gift and what it means by having the Holy Spirit within us. Help us to share that wonderful feeling of salvation and safety that the Holy Spirit gives us with others so they can receive your gifts also. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to stand for a reading of the Gospel, which today is taken from the third chapter of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. So the Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to invite any children who want to come up and join me for the children's message. Come up here, but you're not going to be able to see the screen, so maybe we'll sit over on this side a little bit. Sound good? Sometimes we get the confirmation students to come up. Sometimes they're too cool for us. We don't know, but we'll let them come up this time. Come on up. Have a seat. Okay. So, Sadie, you can read, right? Maggie, you can read, right? I think your sister can too. Don't worry, it's not hard. All right, I want you to look up at the screen and let's put that first slide up. Can you read that for me?
Jesus? T-Emma? What does that mean?
I know some of you know.
You don't know. You don't understand it, huh?
Does somebody else understand? Did you ask your big sister if she knows it?
But ask if she knows what it is. Tell you? That wasn't very helpful. Anybody else know what it means? Do you know? Does your mama know? Your mom knows? Ask her.
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you. Why does your mom know it and we don't? Because she knows Spanish. Yeah. Did anybody else know that? Yeah, that's Spanish for Jesus loves you. All right, let's try another one. Say, do you really can't read anything? Oh, let's try. Go back. Oh, we got too fast. There. Can you read that one? Jesus loves you. All right. Why could you read that one? No, but why could you? Because it's in English. We can understand that one, right? But not in Spanish. And that's okay. But does it make it untrue? The first thing? Just because it was in Spanish, we didn't understand it? Well, here's where we're going to get to, but Sadie could read that one, right? Sadie could read that one. But who do you think could understand what that means? Who here in church do you think would be able to understand that? Who? Anna? She's a baby. Well, and she's sleeping. She's a baby, and she's sleeping, right? Yeah. Or if Winston were here, can Winston read? Winston has some sight. Where's Nick? Here they. But let's try this last one. All right, now we're getting there. What does this mean?
Okay.
Yeah?
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you. Yeah, we understand that, right? Even if somebody here couldn't read, could they understand what that means? Yeah. So let's think back. We all understood this, but even babies, like, do you think Anna would understand this even?
Yes. She understands.
She understands. Maybe. She's kind of getting old enough where she might know. Maybe not. Does that make it, but even if she didn't understand, does that make it not true? It's still true, right? All right, how about the one that says, Jesus loves me? If you can't read, does that make that untrue for you? Is it still true? How about for all of you who couldn't read Spanish? Even though we couldn't read it, does it make it untrue? It's the same answer. No, you're on the right answer. I'm not trying to trick you guys. Yeah. So what I want to say about this is just because we don't understand something doesn't make it untrue. Okay? Because sometimes in things, like when we come around to things of faith, like how does baptism work? Does anybody know? Your face gets put under water and what happens? You get blessed. How does that work? With the holy water. How does the water become holy? Because you blessed it? Well, oh, see? Now, just because... No, this is okay. This is great. Just because we don't understand how something like that works, does that make it untrue? No. And that's what I want us to think about, is sometimes with stuff of faith, it's hard to understand it. But still means Jesus loves us. It still means in your baptism you are blessed. Okay? All right, thank you guys. You can head back to your seats now.
And thank you to Mary Jo for being my Spanish consultant tonight, or this morning. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day that we celebrate your baptism, we pray that we would be mindful that we too have been washed in those same waters of baptism. We've been blessed by that same Holy Spirit. And even in times when we don't understand, we know and we can believe that we are loved. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to ask you these questions. And just tell me if they sound familiar to you, if you've heard them before. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? Do you intend to live in the covenant God made with you in baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? And people of God, do you promise to support these sisters and brothers and pray for them in their life in Christ? Have any of you heard those before? Maybe? I know some of you have. Logan, have you heard those before? Where have you heard them before? In church. That's a pretty good guess, yes. In church. But specifically, these are the questions that we read during our affirmation of baptism. Yeah, during confirmation. These are words that we use during what we call the affirmation of baptism, when people come up before the congregation and they affirm their baptism. It's what we say most notably on Confirmation Sunday when all of our young people, or Seth is here. Seth was just confirmed last year. Where is he? Is that, you remember those words, right? I'm going to take that as a yes. So yeah, these are the words that are said on Confirmation Sunday when students who have spent a couple years doing intentional faith formation affirm the promises made in their baptism. There's another time that we use this, and that's when people become new members of our congregation. When people who come into this church and they want to be officially formed as members into this church, we bring them up front and we say, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit? Do you continue to live in the covenant God made with you in your holy baptism? And people of God, do you promise to support these brothers and sisters? These are words that we use again and again to affirm the promises of our baptism. So this past Thursday during confirmation, Vicar Maria was teaching the class, and I pulled the second year students out kind of one-on-one. They're about a year and a half into their two-year study, and I pulled them out just to have individual conversations with each of them and kind of ask how things are going, and they're all filing back in now. You guys good? Okay, good. They're all back here now. I'll leave, I'll call them out. But they came in and met with me one-on-one, and I talked to them about how their lives of faith are going, how they're doing, what's going on. I asked them some of these same questions. And do you notice what was not in this list of questioning? What was not in this list of questioning after a year and a half of studying is, do you understand how God works? Can you explain how your baptism is effective? Figure it out for me. Give me a proof. Those are not the questions we ask for affirming our baptism. Not do you get it? Do you understand it? Can you regurgitate it and write a thesis on it? Which is a lot of what school is, right? You're learning how to multiply fractions, and then you have a test that proves, do you understand how to multiply fractions? But no, our questions were, do you believe in God and his power to work wonders? Do you believe in the promises of your baptism? Because our affirmation of baptism is not a proof of our baptism. I remember as a kid, because in school you learn as you learn things and then you prove that you understand them. That's kind of how you get good grades or acceptable marks, is I understand this now. And I remember sitting in church and trying to figure out how baptism works, because I knew that you were blessed, which Layla said, and then you get forgiveness and you become a child of God. So how does that work? Because I can look in the bowl and just see water, and I already took a bath today, so I don't really know how this is going to work. And I remember as a really little kid seeing my pastor behind the altar, and I never got to go up there. That's like the secret space where only pastors get to walk, apparently. And so I thought maybe he had like some magic little like pastor powder that he secretly dumped in to the baptismal font. Or I don't know, maybe he had like a little wand or something. I didn't know, but I was waiting to try and figure out how it worked, trying to understand how this baptism thing worked. And I thought, well, maybe that's what they do in confirmation. They figure out how it all works. Well, then I became a seventh grader and I was disappointed. Because my pastor then asked, "Do you believe the mystery of faith?" I thought, oh, it's not about my understanding, but about my belief. It's not that we are people of proof, but we are people of faith. And that I want to take a pause for just a minute here and say that I think science is amazing. Science is amazing, and I love how it explains our world, but I don't need it to explain God. Because then I'd be a person of proof and not a person of faith. One of the young people, one of the confirmands, came in and we were having this discussion that we were having, and I could see that he had a look on his face, and I wasn't quite sure where he was going, and he said, "Well, yeah, I mean, I believe, but I also, you know, I'm trying to work it out with what I believe about science, too." And I knew where he was going. I knew where he was going. He was going the same place that so many adults do. Can I believe in science and have faith in God? And I told him this story. I said, when I was in college, I was studying physics, and I had a physics professor. And this was a man who also studied like cosmology, like the study of the world. You know, they're the people who, that's like with the Big Bang Theory, like those kind of people, you know, who are trying to figure out the answers to the world. I said he was one of those kind of physicists. And he was also a man of deep, deep Christian faith. And one of our students finally asked him, like, how do you reconcile that? How do you say, like, we're trying to figure out, like, what a black hole is made out of? Oh, yeah, and I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Like, how can you be a man of faith and a man of science? And he said, because whenever I learn or read or part of some sort of experiment that explains the wonders of the world, I sit back and I think, man, God is incredible. Look at the science that he has used to put this crazy world together. And I told that to this young student who was in my office, and he all of a sudden kind of started to get it and clicked, and then we went on for about 10 minutes talking about how God can be an active scientist in creation. And we said, well, we don't know how the world was made, we just know who made it. And then we started imagining, well, maybe when God was making birds, like the lumps of clay he took and he formed them, and he said, nope, not quite right. And then he formed another one and said, nope, not quite right. And then he finally formed a bird and said, it is good. Because we're not meant to understand fully. That's where that faith comes in believing what is not seen. Baptism works the same way. Baptism works even if we don't understand it. And that is why we, in the Lutheran faith, baptize infants. We baptize people when they're very, very small. We baptize adults as well. But we say, we want that gift to be with you as soon as you can. There's a historical precedent to it, where in biblical times, whole households were baptized together. But there's also a theological part to it. The same questions that are asked to an adult who is baptized are asked to an infant as they are baptized. And they have someone answer on their behalf. Because the same Holy Spirit is at work in both baptisms. If we had an adult who came up and was baptized, and I pour the water over her head and said, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden she turned around and goes, ha ha, kidding! I had my fingers crossed the whole time. That doesn't undo the work that God is doing. I don't know why someone would do that. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit was not in that water and was not blessing that person. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that God is not at work. And it's also why when people come, they are affirmed in their baptism. Because we don't re-baptize. It's not as if that baptism that was effective and there in your childhood or in your infancy wears off. It's not like a license you need to renew from time to time. But occasionally we as humans need to affirm that. So when people become members here, they do so by affirming their baptism. I know it was a while ago, I had a woman come in and talk with me. And she was a woman who had gone through a lot of trauma in her life. She had gone through more trials and tribulations than one person should ever have to face. And she had come out the other end. She had gotten through these hurdles after hurdles and come out the other end. And she says, I feel like I am a new person. And I feel like I need to be re-baptized. And I said, I understand what you're feeling, but I'm not going to rebaptize you. And she said, but I feel like a new person. I said, I know you do. And the Holy Spirit that was with you in your childhood, that was with you through all that mud and muck, that was with you through all of that hardship, is the same Holy Spirit that is with you today when you feel like a new person. Let us affirm those promises that were made to you, that walked with you. And with that Holy Spirit that never left you, even when you felt alone. Because our baptismal promise is kind of like a shadow. It's kind of like our shadow, right? I mean, how many of you have seen or read Harry Potter? That's where my mind is. Peter Pan. Anybody seen or read Peter Pan? Hand back there? Okay. For those of you who haven't, I'm going to ruin the first 5 minutes for you. Peter Pan comes in and he's jumping around and who knows what he's looking for? His shadow! He can't focus. This is in a fantastical world. He's looking for his shadow, which he lost. And he's jumping after it. He's trying to reach it and grab it. But our shadows don't work like that, right? Our shadow is always with us. Just like our faith is always with us. Sometimes our shadow is bright and bold and directly in front of us, shining a clear path. Sometimes our shadow is off at a wonky angle and we think, really, this way? And sometimes our shadow is behind us and we can't even see it. It's still there. But when is our shadow not with us? Only when we walk in the dark. Only when we don't walk in the dark can we not see our own shadow. But as soon as we step back into the light, the shadow that was always with us, that faith that was always with us, is present again and we can see it. Being named and claimed as a baptized child of God is not about saying yes to God. It's about God saying yes to us. See, the direction in our thinking is wrong. It's about the Holy Spirit coming down. In Jesus' baptism, it said that the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove. Look at this dove up here. What direction is it flying? Down. It's not about us climbing a ladder up, but about the Holy Spirit coming down to us. In baptism, we are made children of God, and that doesn't go away. That is not something that you grow out of. And though it may be hidden from time to time when we walk in darkness, the Holy Spirit came down in the waters of baptism and flies with you throughout your life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.